man, can you believe it? It's another week and another month on this calendar 2023, the longest, shortest year on the planet. It's ready to go, baby. Your one-stop shop for NXT content, all that good stuff. It's I, Football Boys. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the guy who does all the things with commentary, all the things with hosting, even making your parties pop. Give it up for the award-winning Jack Farmer. What's going on, sir?
Can do all these things, but can't get my high-tech camera to work this morning. Flobo, I feel like I have technical difficulties every week, and I've been doing this for years now. What's wrong with me, Flobo?
I just want to say, man, I want to say that I'm like half considerate. I'm like, oh, man, your camera's broken. We got a show to do. Let's go.
Right.
The old camera. Let's go. I'm awful.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on, but we'll be okay. We'll get through it.
Nah, that's how it is, man. The show must go on.
If Thanks Tiffany Stratton can live through the things that Fallon Henley did to her, I think I can get through this technical difficulty.
Did to her. Tiffany Stratton, you know what? Hold that thought. I want to give a shout out to everyone on Facebook, on Twitter. Oh, sorry. Facebook on X, on Twitch, on YouTube, and Trovo Live for being here live. If you have questions or comments in chat, let us know. In fact, I was going to start off with the main event, but let's start off with that match, quote unquote. Tiffany Stratton is an absolute bully because Fallon Henley got beat up. And the sad part is, Vic Joseph didn't even care. He was like, oh, it sucks. Anyway, no MDR. I felt like Fallon Henley got railroaded in the worst possible way.
Vic Joseph didn't care for obvious reasons, Flo, but it's because that's what Fallon Henley deserved last week after sneak attacking Tiffany Stratton. With you talk about bullies, the mocking that Fallon Henley was trying to do. I think this is what Fallon Henley gets. If you make fun of someone like this, yeah, they're going to come at you, bro.
All right, fam. but Tiffany Stratton shows a bit of a mean streak. It's something we've seen since her match at No Mercy. Now, I mean, it looks like she's getting away with it, but it looks like there's going to be a match on the horizon eventually. You can't beat someone up in front of everyone and expect to have no repercussions, right?
Yeah, you beat someone up like that in front of everyone once, you're going to have to do it again. And I think that that's what Tiffany Stratton's going to do.
Well, screw that. I hate the fact that Vic Joseph didn't even have time to look at the injury of the Fallon Henley. I know the bias when I see it. But there's a reason why I started with that, because I want to talk about our main event. 4 weeks, it was the idea of Unbezikbah versus him, Carmelo Hayes, the third match in the line. Of course, I'm going to ask you what you thought about the match, but here's something that happened afterwards I want to break down first. There was a Trick Williams sighting and a Baron Corbin sighting. I have not seen an unpredictable end to NXT since Von Wagner got crushed in the head, which is about a month ago, so NXT is bad 1,000. Talk to me about that. Trick Williams is back. Baron Corbin's back. Pandemonium at the end of this one.
Well, this was Baron Corbin told Dragunov exactly what was going to happen. I don't know why everyone was so surprised when this happened. I thought this was very much something that Baron Corbin warned everyone about, warned Dragunov about. But again, Dragunov got so distracted and so caught up into what he was doing, he didn't even see what was happening. This is what Baron Corbin is trying to teach all these kids at NXT about. It's about keeping your head on a swivel, being ready for anything. Dragunov wasn't ready for anything. He was ready for Carmelo Hayes, clearly. He was not ready for the next challenger up. And that's what being the champion's all about. Yeah, you got a big win. Great. Next challenger up. They've talked about before. Sometimes people, they realize their dream and become the champion of the world at WrestleMania in the main event. Guess what? 24 hours later, they got to do it again. That's what happens in pro wrestling. Dragunov learned a very valuable lesson. And I think down the line, when Dragunov's given his Hall of Fame speech, the first person he'll thank is Baron Corbin.
Or less than 24 hours, we were just a big show hanging outside of wrestling matches main event. But well, we saw Baron Corbin and said, why do we see it coming? Is because Trick Willie appeared. I mean, look, Carmelo Hayes had the Justice for Trick shirt. People have been saying, rumors have been swirling that Carmelo was involved, even though Carmelo maintained his innocence. But the mere appearance of Trick Williams was enough of a distraction. Yeah, I said it. A distraction for Dragunov to get the win. But it looked like Trick Williams had something on his mind. What was going on there, you think?
Well, I think what was really on Trick Williams' mind is that he was disappointed in Carmelo Hayes. I think he was disappointed in him. Because what happens, of course, Trick Williams, they've been talking about whether or not Carmelo Hayes could beat Dragunov on his own for a very long time. This has been a narrative and a point of discussion that we've really beaten into the ground in NXT. Is can Carmelo Hayes beat Dragunov on his own? Trick Williams, being an incredible friend, the kind of friend that you always want to have your back, realized, hey, Carmelo Hayes isn't going to like this, but he can't beat Dragunov on his own. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help cheer him on. I'm going to help make Carmelo Hayes feel like he can do this and give him that support. Of course, Carmelo Hayes, so caught up in the moment, so full of self, thinking to himself, wait, what? Now I have to share the attention? Trick Williams is out here? I don't like that at all. And that distracted Carmelo Hayes long enough for him to lose the match. Hopefully Carmelo Hayes learns to be a little less selfish after this matchup and what happened here. But Trick Williams, still being a good friend, you'll notice, helped Carmelo Hayes back up, but you could still see that disappointment in his eyes.
A good friend, right? That's like a Jack Farmer level friend. I'm a do it with resentment in my face, but I'm a do it because I'm a good friend.
You've clearly asked me for a favor before.
Yeah. Yeah, all the time. Listen, let's talk about this match here itself. It's kind of a biased question because we saw Dragunov Carmelo Hayes 2 live at No Mercy, but where did this one stack up? I think the ending was definitely unique, but the actual combat between these two gentlemen, they feel they're very good dance partners, as Jack Farmer used to say back in the day.
Yeah, I think these two are great dance partners, and I have a feeling we'll see them in the ring many times in the future. This feels like the kind of rivalry that will get revisited over and over again, much to the delight of all of us, by the way. I think if I'm stacking and counting and ranking the matches, I got to go No Mercy number one. That one was incredible. Of course, like you said, we were there live. So I'm biased. So what? Why can't I be biased? No one said that's a rule. So I'm going to be biased.
And, yeah, subjective journalist that we are.
Yeah. I've never said I'm a journalist.
There, we never did that. So, we know better.
So, yeah, I will say I got to go No Mercy, but this one was great. These two are great. You're going to get a fun, great box office match every time these guys go at it.
All right, so this is actually pretty early for this show, but it brings me back to my general manager pick'em. That's where I get to ask Jack Farmer questions as if he is the Phantom General Manager at NXT. I want to see what's on his mind. So we saw Tiffany Stratton's heinous attack, and we saw Baron Corbin's heinous attack as well. Now, you're the GM of NXT. What do you do in situations like this? Do you find, suspend, release, or dole out any kind of arbitrary punishment for people who attack other talent away from the ring? Or do you say, hey, it's really the big boys play, or emphasis on the verb play, adjective play?
I think doling out is the word that I would use, the phrase I would use. I would dole out some title opportunities to these two. I think I would dole out a title opportunity to Baron Corbin, someone who has gotten big wins, shown. I mean, look, he's got a history of doing great things. We don't even need to rattle off all the accomplishments. We'll talk about what he's done just recently. I think he definitely deserves a title shot. And Tiffany Stratton should have had a rematch a long time ago. But the fact that now she's shown that Fallon Henley can't even make it to the ring when having a match with Tiffany Stratton, clearly she's the number one contender. I think both of them should get title shots very soon.
To be fair to Fallon Henley, she got her legs wrapped around the ring. She made it to the ring. It's not inside of it. But I gotta be honest with you. If you have a situation or a roster where anyone can attack anyone and get knocked to the front of the line, what kind of precedent are you setting there, GM?
If you're the kind of champion that's going to allow yourself to get taken out by someone else, then you shouldn't be champion. You know, I mean, Dragunov, great defense, great match. Really well done. Happy for you. Happy you got your defense there. Big win. Guess what? Next man up, Baron Corbin. Why weren't you ready? You got to be ready. If you want to be champion, you got to be ready. That's what people like Bron Breakker have learned. That's what people like Carmelo Hayes have learned. And that's what Dragunov needs to learn. And that's the lesson Baron Corbin's going to teach him.
Wow. Speaking about teaching people's lessons, we had the most tragic match I've seen in a long time, as Mr. Stone had to wrestle Bron Breakker. Didn't have to. He elected to. Poor guy. And got absolutely destroyed in the skinniest of pants. Bron Breakker is a beast, a machine. There's not much we haven't said about that. I really thought that he was going to kill Mr. Stone. but the reemergence of Von Wagner just knocking off the nurses, hopping in an Uber, showing up the Capitol Wrestling Center at the right pristine time. When did he run there? No idea, but he saved Mr. Stone from more damage. I'm talking about getting involved after their matches. Maybe we might get some title opportunities or match opportunities for Von Wagner stepping up for a friend.
See, I would have loved to see him escaping the hospital and the orderlies trying to hold him back and him just throwing him around and breaking free like Wolverine escaping from Weapon X. That's what I'd like to see on this show.
But it's physical therapy, not jail. What the... Okay, fine, just leave.
You can go anytime you want. This is voluntary. Your session was over anyways.
Dang it, Vaughn.
No, but look. Yeah, so Robert Stone took a beating, but I got to give Robert Stone credit because
Mr. Stone. He lost his first name.
Suit Man Stone. He will always be like, he. Sometimes you just got to take a beating, Flobo. Sometimes.
You don't got to. You could run, you could hide, you could make someone else do it.
Sometimes. You got to step up, and that's what Stone did. And I got to give him credit for it. He went in there, he took his beating. I got to give him credit. But I think Bron Breakker did the absolute right thing. I think he did the absolute right. Because here's the thing. Bron Breakker's like the king of the jungle. You know what I mean? Okay. He's the king of the jungle. And every now and again in the jungle, of course, the hyenas, they nip around and they'll eat the leftovers, but the hyenas, they get a little bit closer every now and again, closer to the king of the jungle and maybe eating more of his stuff and taking more territory. Every now and again, the king of the jungle has to snap and remind everyone who the king of the jungle is. And that's what Bron Breakker did at this event at Halloween Havoc Night 2. He reminded all the hyenas who the Scar of the situation is by beating up Mr. Stone and showing anyone who ever might think maybe I'll approach the king of the jungle and maybe I'll stand up to him, showing what's going to happen. You're going to get your head crushed in a bunch of steps. That's what's going to happen, Flobo.
I didn't know where this is going to go, but I'm so glad I put my arms up. I was like, take me on this ride. King of the jungle, hyenas. It's all crazy. Yeah. But Scar was right, and he was the king of the jungle there. What's up, Papito? Hey.
Yeah.
I have a question though. I just a slight one. Bron Breakker.
Yes, Von Wagner is Timon and Pumbaa in a large jacket.
All right, moving on then. No, okay, you're Bron Breakker. You pretty much defeated Von Wagner. Now Von was back, and he went through a lot. We've seen a lot about Von Wagner's backstory, his road to recovery. It looks like the CWC is buying in. Do you, Jack Farmer, buy in to Von Wagner being a credible threat on the NXT roster?
He absolutely is a credible threat. He absolutely is. He's very much a person that reminds me a lot of a Kane. And okay, the reason I say Kane is because he's someone who I could see him as a world champion. I could see him striking fear into the hearts of the most dangerous people in the WWE. I could also see him sliding down on that pecking order and not being quite as scary as some people may think he should be. I think it's up to Von Wagner. Now that he's had time to collect himself, get back on track, he needs to start getting some dubs, needs to start getting some wins, needs to start asserting that dominance. The idea of Von Wagner will only go so far. We need to start seeing him do what he's promising he's going to do.
Speaking about doing or promising, we got some breaking news for you. Draped in Gold has merch, our local merch, our second one in the line, is available right now at tinyurl.com/drapedingold. If you want to show some pride about the best dang NXT show on the planet, there's where you go. tinyurl.com/drapedingold. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, 5 stars is what we need, man. Like 5 stars on an Apple, 5 stars on that Spotify. Tell us you love us, baby.
Yeah, even if you don't typically use Apple Podcasts, just head over there real quick. Leave us a quick 5-star review and a nice little note. That actually helps the show a lot. And what I love about our shirts, Flobo, not only are they incredibly easy to get through that link, not only is it convenient and affordable, but it's a great present. It looks cool. Get one for yourself. Get one for a friend. Definitely check that out. tinyurl.com/drapedingold.
Yeah, please do that. But let's get into people who do get themselves closer to gold, because we have the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament Final. Kalani Jordan, my pick to win it all, was going to go full tilt in a Cleopatra outfit for Halloween. Of course, it's spooky season, against Lola Vice, two of the most experienced competitors on the roster and in the tournament, met in the finals. But Lola Vice, to her credit, to her praise, made pretty much quick work of Kalani Jordan, and she's your next NXT Women's Breakout star. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be surprised, because everyone in this tournament could have won. But the question I have for you, Jack Farm, is that Lola has that contract in hand. How long does she wait, do you think, before she strikes?
If I'm her, I'm going to hold on to it for a little bit. I think statistically, you look at things like Money in the Bank and any of these types of contracts where you get to choose your shots. The people who are more patient tend to have a higher success ratio than those that try to cash in right away. So I'm going to wait, especially since Valkyrie just won the title. She's fresh. She's also feeling the high of beating her childhood hero. Let her get worn down a little bit. Let her take a few beatings. Let her get beat up for a while. I think that is what she needs to do. And hold on. So Cedric Welton chatting about Lola Vice, Cedric's favorite wrestler right now, Lola Vice.
More than favorite. Because as soon as she posts, it's like, sent the answer, loves this, and others. Like, how does he get here so fast?
It's not even done posting. And so there's a lot. But look, we look at the finals here. Kalani Jordan, Lola Vice. Everyone talks about how unpredictable the breakout tournament is. It's very much like March Madness. You can rank things, but you never know how it's all going to break down. But much like March Madness, sometimes it's a number one pick against a number one pick. Number one seed versus a number one seed. And I think that's what happened. I think a lot of us thought it was going to be Kalani Jordan or Lola Vice. So this was actually a treat to get to see this match happen, get to see it play out. I think what we really saw here is just how dangerous Lola Vice's strikes are. And the thing about a striker, someone who can knock someone out, kind of knock them for a loop the way Lola Vice did, is that they are a danger in any matchup, any competition. So if I'm someone like a Lyra Valkyrie, I'm very worried about that Lola Vice cash-in, because you can train all you want, but if you get hit, that might be it.
Absolutely. If Lola Vice needed something to add to her arsenal, give herself a better chance to become champion, what do you think it would be? Is it a speed issue? Is it a varied arsenal move? I know she has an MMA background, but Lyla Valkyrie is more of a hard-hitting brawler as well. And I mean, what would she need to get herself a bit of an edge?
I actually think she matches up really well with Lyra Valkyrie. I think Lyra Valkyrie has to be very nervous about this matchup. In general, though, I think all Lola Vice needs is time and experience, because she has that MMA background, so she's definitely used to facing MMA wrestlers. But of course, in pro wrestling, a much wider array of talent comes in pro wrestling. You don't deal with the high flyers in MMA. You don't deal with the people who are double your size in MMA. There's a lot of different things that she's going to have to learn to deal with. And I think that's all stuff she'll just get in time.
I'm still looking at Electra Lopez. Here's somebody that was La Madrina of Legado Fantasma. Legado got called up to the main roster, was tag team with Lola Vice. Now Lola Vice is getting opportunities. Is there some resentment there, you think? Is there some bitterness? Or do queens support queens, you think?
As of now, there's no reason to think there's... As of now, there's no reason to think that queens don't support queens. Yes. You know, there's nothing about Electra Lopez that has shown me that she's bitter or jealous. We look at where she started with Legado del Fantasma. I think Electra Lopez loves being a facilitator, someone that gets people to championships. And I think that's what she's going to do with Lola Vice. Again, if Lyra Valkyrie is not careful, I'm a big Lyra Valkyrie fan, but I think, like I said, Lola Vice, if I'm someone who's matching people up, I'm licking my chops at this one.
Cedric Welton has a good question here. So, thoughts on using the contract for the tag team titles for her and Electra? No, they're cursed. No, in all seriousness, this actually happened before, using the contract to use another championship. Not a fan, because it's a singles tournament and it should be used as that. But the question still stands. If Electra Lopez, what is she going to do when there's Lola Vice rise, daddy?
Well, I think maybe Electra Lopez, this is where she's whispering in the ear of Lola Vice, saying tag titles, where Lola Vice needs to figure out, what is she supposed to do? Does she think about herself, or does she try to think about the team? A situation that maybe Trick Williams has had to consider for a little bit.
But they're cursed. I wouldn't the tag titles are so spooky. Don't touch them.
A lot of cursed spooky titles in this event.
Yeah, exactly. It's only the second night of Halloween Havoc. And where's the stack up for Halloween Havocs for you? Is it one of the better ones, you think, or was it the mid?
I really enjoyed night one. That one, this one had a lot of fun to it as well. But I do think that night one was really one of my really enjoyable Halloween Havoc. It's hard to compare to like childhood Halloween Havocs, you know, like where they hit you differently when you're younger. So I'm not going to compare them to like the WCW Halloween Havocs, but I do think night one was probably one of my favorites. This one was good as well. But I think I give night one the edge between the two.
Yeah, I can't even, if it was a recent pay-per-view, I can't compare pay-per-views to, or PLEs to TV specials. It's just, they're different. I mean, How many times can Vic say, don't miss a second, this picture break? It's like, I'm not going to her, Vic, I'm stuck here.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I gotta say, I do hate the whole, you will not miss a moment of the action, and then you spend like half of it in picture.
Like, right, you're like, I'm missing moments.
Kind of feels like I'm missing moments.
What's going on? Speaking about the spooky titles, Casey Jane and Thea Hale had an opportunity to make sure Chase U was going to be draped in gold as they took on Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. And well, we could talk about the match and the title, but do you think Murder Clown Piper Niven single? Mm-mm. Ask your friend. Not Piper Niven, Murder Clown Piper Niven.
I don't know how to answer this one.
No, the match. Tell me about the match.
I'm thinking if she's a murder clown, if she's not single, she probably will be soon. You know?
Say that, fam.
Whoever. I mean, murder clowns don't typically stay in relationships very long.
I'm committed.
Till death do us part.
Oh, no. I should have known. She dropped the ball, it seems.
But this was, I don't know how you watch this matchup, Flobo. I don't know how you watch it, look it back and really analyze it and not 100% blame Andre Chase for why that team isn't draped in gold themselves.
Wow. Quote from Booker T. Andre Chase, he's a loser. I wrote that down. That was hilarious.
How do you argue Booker T?
He's a Hall of Famer. Five time champ.
Shucky ducky quack quack. How do you argue? I mean, we could have had new tag team champions if Andre Chase just supported JC Jane in the same way JC Jane supports Andre Chase.
Look, I get the quid pro quo, but you're running a reputable, I think, institution. You can't be cheating to win or help other people cheat to win. That's not cool. Andre Chase is actually right here.
What private post high school, group, company, university, whatever you want to call it, do you think is running an honest operation?
Wow, that's heavy logic. I shut me up. Cheat to win, Andre, you loser.
I mean, come on. who are we fooling?
That is just awful. We actually support people playing on the level. Apparently, just me, it seems.
But I mean, come on. Look, if he didn't want to help, fine. Don't want to get your hands dirty, fine. He could have looked the other way. Looked the other way. And would it have been cheating? Of course it would have been cheating. Do I like cheating? Of course not. But at the end of the day, they would have been the champs. And I think that we talk about how Ric Flair has won 16 titles. We don't talk about how he cheated 16 times.
I do, but no one ever listens to me.
What was that? I don't know.
Anyway, nice touch for Thea, because you could tell she's like still in between two worlds. How she's like does JC Jane's moves, but they're like super slow and awkward on top of the ring, and goes back to being like herself. And I hope she gets to be saved from the clutches of JC Jane. But the way it seems right now, after what happened this week, if I'm Thea, I'm hanging with JC. I hate to say it, because that's two opportunities her team has lost due to Andre Chase's actions.
I mean, that's what I was about to say. You're talking bad about JC Jane, but this is the most successful Thea Hale has ever been.
She
almost won the tag team championships again. This is, again, Andre Chase has cost her. And I think at some point you need to realize that sometimes schools don't want you to succeed. They just want you to take classes forever. Andre Chase, maybe doesn't really care about the AL being successful. He just wants someone to lecture.
That is just so savage, man. Leave Chase U alone. They held 2.0 on their back when no one was tuning in. You.
I used to go to listen to seminars from a great teacher named Eddie Dennis, who knew all about educating wrestlers.
You know what? As much as I meet Eddie Dennis, got into it on social media, the fact you brought up an NXT UK reference means the world to me.
That no one,
Jack
no
Farmer's one. Right. What the hell, Eddie? Yeah. I hate this.
We got 2% of our audience gets the joke.
But. Hey, man, it makes that make sense. Think about 2%. Talk about this haunted house action here. Akira Tozawa, your boy, who got 0 points to Noam's credit, got 0 points in that Heritage Cup tournament, steals a Heritage Cup, puts up an entire maze for metaphors to go through as a Gangnam Scooby-Doo, all to get a title opportunity under duress. I should support this, but I do not.
This is what I like to see in pro wrestling, is wrestlers who...
Really?
It doesn't need to be so personal. You know, of course, if you remember last week, Noam Dar was warned that the Heritage Cup was in danger. So Akira Tozawa hears this and says, I'm going to keep it safe. Keeps it safe and then says, hey, come by my place on Halloween. Come pick it up. But he's like, hey, while you're here, check out this cool haunted house I put together. You want to be friends? Let's just compete for this thing. They agree. Akira Tozawa and Noam Dar, win, win, win.
That's not how it went down at all. Come on, about haunted house on a random Tuesday night?
It was Halloween. This is what you do on Halloween.
Fair enough. I wouldn't go to haunted house in March. You're right. But what I'm saying is, Curtis Al could have asked. He could have won a match. He could have challenged it. This seems kind of elaborate to get someone to say, okay, I'll have a match with you. Knowing full well Metaphor is going to have the way to use a numbers advantage but make sure that to get the championship or the cutback.
A haunted house in March would be a lot more scary, I think.
Come on. And the thing is, it could be like less stuff. It could be like it's like an overturned chair.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
What is this? But look, I think, look, I didn't see Akira Tozawa do anything nefarious, did you? He just asked for a title shot. Of course, it was a haunted house. He was like, Scooby Dooby Doo, but like, whatever. It wasn't mean. It was all in good fun.
I had two notes on this two notes on this tour of this house. One, I'm surprised they got the Scooby-Doo character licenses. And two, how long were they holding on to that sandwich? I felt like that sandwich was used as a weapon for like an hour, but
I got to give Noam Dar and this group so much credit. They have such great chemistry together, and this was such a fun bit. I hope that they keep the haunted house bit in Halloween Havoc forever. I hope it becomes a kind of like spin the wheel, you know, where it's just a thing that's always there. Because every year they do this, I get it, it's stupid, but it's fun. It's just fun. I thought the sandwich was great. It just held on it. And they're just squeezing the life out of that sandwich.
I have no idea. It's like an improv class is a wet dream there. It's like, you know, the sandwich is everything to you. And go.
Yeah. I will say Lash Legend totally got squashed in this one, though, right?
She got squashed in a haunted house. I mean, yeah, I get you that. Well, didn't Chikara was the first one that
Chikara got buried in this,
yeah, exactly. This match? Tozawa got put over, bro. Let's talk about putting
Gora Mensa, though. Like, his work rate was insane.
Are you gonna comment on work rate in a haunted house?
Yeah, five stars.
Let's talk about people being buried and put over, because the North American Championship was on the line as quote unquote dirty. Dominic Mysterio took on Nathan Frazier, and Dominic Mysterio came out as a jailbird for a certain touch. The match I thought was back and forth. I thought it was Nathan Frazier's time to shine, but ultimately Judgment Day rules supreme, and mommy is happy until the resurgence of a certain Wesley.
Yeah, I saw this and I was very upset by the discourse that was on social media, or the lack of discourse, Flo, okay, the lack of conversation I saw about Dom's furry boots. No one seemed to want to talk about this fashion.
They were awful.
They were fantastic.
They weren't.
When I think of convict, I think of furry boots.
You don't mix fur with fringes. That is fashion rule 101.
No, this is sometimes breaking the rules proves the rules, Flo. This was just pure excellence and
pure excellence.
And you know, I said it last week. I think what really cost Nathan Frazier here is his whole mantra of never slow down. I think if he slowed down, stopped, thought about what he was getting into, he would have been ready for everything that he faced in this matchup. But because he doesn't slow down, because he always just wants to go, 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 he ran right into a buzzsaw, ended up getting beat. And that's why we're now looking down to the next opponent instead of talking about Nathan Frazier being the new.
So hold on, let's talk about that next opponent. Wesley, the cardiac kid, which is a thing they're going to keep saying. I'm not sure I'm going to say it, but returns after fighting himself for the third time in his career, right back into the North American title picture. Now, anyone will say back of the line, right? The world's been moving. You took yourself out the game. How do you get yourself a front row ticket to being the number one contender for a championship you weren't even present to even battle for?
Well, this is where I think Wes Lee, more than anyone, has been listening to Baron Corbin, and he's learning that you've got to be aggressive and you've got to take what you want. Does Wes Lee belong in the front of the line for the North American Championship? Absolutely not. He's been gone. He hasn't been wrestling. He lost his last match. I agree. He does belong at the beginning of the line. But today, he made things personal. So you know what's going to happen? Rhea Ripley. This is a political move. It's a chess game, Flo. But Rhea Ripley can't let this stand. Rhea Ripley can't let someone beat up Dom and then not retaliate in some way. And so the only way that she can guarantee that's going to happen is to put the title on the line, which is exactly what Wes Lee wants. Very well-played game of chess, Wes Lee.
What do I mean this? This is actually Dominic Mysterio's second title reign. Is he going to be a forever champion? Is he going to be a guy doing like the 900,000, 1,200-day title reign to North American title, you think?
Our idea of what a forever reign is definitely different than what it used to be. You know, if this was 2019, a forever reign was like 6 months. So
yeah, you're right.
How long has he had it now? Because he lost it, but it was only for a day or two, right?
Yeah, 71 hours at No Mercy. So it's pretty much like 3 weeks into his second reign.
So, I mean, is he already really kind of a forever? I guess Wes Lee had it for a very long time before that. And Carmella, no, I don't think he's going to have it for any length of time beyond what it's been for the past few years.
So according to Wikipedia, which is always a true source of information, Wes Lee had a 260-day reign as North American champion, winning the title at Halloween Havoc last year. And Dirty Dominic has two reigns, the first one going 74 days, and now he's on 28 days on the second reign.
So it's just about 3 months if we take out that little interruption.
Yeah, minus 3 days, minus 71 hours. He's been out for 3 months.
So I think he'll have it for a little bit. The thing with Dom is I think he's distracted. I think he's got too much going on. And, well, not by mommy. I think mommy's got some things for him to worry about, though, on Raw, on SmackDown in many ways, on NXT. I think it's tough to be a champion. I mean, you look at someone like a Becky Lynch, who's one of the all-time greats, and she could only hold on to the title for 40 days because she was trying to be on multiple shows and defend against so many people. I think because Dirty Dom is a workhorse, Flobo. Yeah. He likes to have as many matches as he can. I think that's going to wear him out. I think if he took the smart route, he could hold the title for a very long time. If he did the Ilya Dragunov, like, I only defend it against big opponents, probably hold it for a long time. But because Dirty Dom is such a workhorse, Dirty Dom is very, like, much like Mr. Perfect, right?
Oh, or if he said you, I'd be like, nope. It's probably like me. He went really hard.
Very
much fur and fringes. Yeah.
Very, very Mr. Perfect. Very Bret Hart wants to defend the title a lot. In fact, when I see Dirty Dom, I know a lot of people say Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio. I see Bret Hart, and I see a workhorse that is going to hold that championship for a good amount of time. Would have had it longer if he didn't defend it as often.
Did you just compare Dominic Mysterio to Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect in the same sentence?
Yes.
I would much rather have you compared to Dominic Mysterio. That's even worse. I mean, do you think Bret Hart? Well, actually, Bret Hart did wear fringes. You think Mr. Perfect? Well, Mr. Perfect did cheat the win sometimes. Yeah, maybe you're right. Jack is right, y'all. I'm just kidding. He's never right. Let me know in the comments below if Jack's off his rocker, because he totally is.
I mean, we're going to see Dom smacking gum out of the air soon, I tell you what.
I tell you
what.
Let's get into our last actual matchup this week before we get to our burning questions. This one here was a tables, ladders, and scares match. Didn't know what it was going in, and I sure as hell know coming out of it. The Creed Brothers, fresh off their appearance on Monday Night Raw, took on Umberto and Angel Garza. You're still lacking a name. I guess the tattoos are permanent. I thought they were kind of a gimmick. I guess they are real now. The match was high octane. It was fast. But to me, the Creed Brothers never seemed like they were in danger for any extended period of time, making quick work of the cousins. Talk to me about the week the Creed Brothers are having, and the crowd is eating every single moment of it.
The Creeds are unworldly athletic. They're like next level, different. I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers we talk about being super athletes. These guys are just insane. The kind of match they had on Monday to then come in on Tuesday and have another incredible matchup. They are a team that I think not only could go toe-to-toe with anyone in WWE right now, but I think could beat anybody in WWE right now. The Creed Brothers, they don't have a weakness. They don't have a thing you can target or try to beat. They're not going to run out of gas. You're not going to outpower them. You're not going to out-wrestle them. You're not going to out-cardio them. They've got everything you need, which was what was so disappointing about Umberto and Angel in this matchup, because they also have a lot of these similar strengths, except they have the experience. But here they're telling me, we're trying to be non-materialistic. We're trying to be more focused. We're trying to be more about getting these wins. But then they come out in silly Halloween costumes and they're buying new gear. And I don't know if they've fully let go of that past part of themselves. And if you're going into a match with the Creed Brothers, yet you can't be focused on what your gear is going to look like and what kind of costume you're going to wear.
Hold on. I mean, let me interject here. First of all, South Southern Wilson says the tattoos are permanent Sharpie ink, probably. You were sitting next to me at No Mercy, and Bron Breakker came out wearing a wolf's costume head. You're like, oh, that's so cool. But when the Umberto and Angel do it, oh, you guys aren't focused. You guys don't know what you're doing. Wackity, wackity, wackity. Which one is it, Jack? You want some pop and circumstance? You want some intimidation factor? Or should you all come out like Lance Storm saying, hey, if I could be serious for a moment?
Look, you can be the guy coming out with the giant wolf head, or you can be the one that's all scratched up from the wolf. You tell me which one's the cool one. I say this. The difference is Bron Breakker is winning matches. Bron Breakker,
he lost that match.
Both to my point. But he's asserted his dominance. The difference is Umberto and Angel, they are telling me that they want to be someone different. They want to be that Lance Storm focused on winning type of team. But then they're doing the opposite. You know what I mean? It's that team that it's like that person that says, I want to be on a diet and lose a bunch of weight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A and eat the grilled
high
chicken.
Protein. Yeah, high you protein. Know? Yeah, yeah.
You're not
extra butter, please.
You're not really doing what you're supposed to do. And so with Umberto and Angel, they're a team I could see doing great things, but I don't think they're quite as focused as they should be just yet.
Okay. So if I'm going to take that at face value, which pains me to no end, but I'll do that. Does that mean that the win that Creed Brothers had yesterday should be kind of discounted because Umberto and Angel aren't focused on 100%?
Well, I think the fact that they were able to get the win as dominantly as they did says that, right? I mean... I think on paper, you look at these teams, Umberto and Angel should have got the win. Again, they're more experienced. They've been doing this for a long time. They're also very athletic. They have all the things to combat a Creed Brothers. I think the thing that separated them is Umberto and Angel were thinking about how they looked a little too much still.
Final question on this one. What is the tables, ladders, and scares match then? Can you tell me?
There are tables.
Okay.
There are ladders.
All right.
They're scares.
Why'd you say it like that?
Were you
scared?
It's Halloween.
Yeah. But were you scared?
I will tell you, I got a little scared a couple times when they did the look like the gory bomb / cutter to the outside through the table.
Yeah.
That scared me a little bit. Also, when Julius Creed got like gorilla pressed on the top rope down through a ladder, that scared me a little bit too. And I get scared every time I see Brutus come off the top and make a big giant wrecking ball. That's a terrifying move. So yeah, I think I got scared a little bit.
I would say the scariest thing this week was when Julius on Monday had Otis on top of his shoulders. And I'm like, you know what happened to Rick Boos's knees at WrestleMania last year? Put him down. I just, please don't. So I guess we're a bunch of wusses. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, Man, I'm telling you, they do so much in that ring that I am not tough enough to do. Are you kidding me?
So, this was actually night two of Halloween Havoc, and I'm with Jack with this one. Night one was a bit stronger, but I got some burning questions. These are some things I've noticed watching the episode last week. Maybe you could help me navigate that, because you're way smarter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shotzi and Scarlett started off the show, and they kind of gave the reins to Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Of course, I won't ask about the thoughts about that, because it was kind of arbitrary. But Isla Dawn and Alba Fire is getting a lot more TV time. Is this the start of something trending upward, or is it something that's more of a holding pattern for them?
Well, I think that we're going to start seeing them more, and I think it's going to transition into something, because you'll notice they actually said at one point that things were going their way. So, I think they're starting to set things up for a strong run in the future. So, I definitely keep an eye on them. One, because they're going to do some good stuff in the ring, but two, because witchcraft terrifies me and I don't want it to sneak up on me. So I'm going to watch them.
All right, Noam Dar. We got a second performance from New Year's Day. The song was Hurt Like Hell. Rock and Roll seems to be back with professional wrestling. Triple H is at the helm. Thoughts about that in the NXT brand? Does it work? Do you like Down South swag? Just the vibe of it all.
You know, I said on Twitter, I think that NXT should have a live performance for every single show and just a different band. And it should be like SNL, where every week they say, this week on NXT, we have the world title and special musical guest, whoever. And then they have the musical guest to kick off every show.
What a train wreck. Listen, Tuesday afternoon in Orlando. Can you come through, Wale? I don't know.
They're clearly not going to get Dua Lipa to open up NXT on a random Tuesday, but you get these smaller groups, and because they always start the show with recaps anyway, so while the band is playing, you're showing the recaps similar to what they did this week. I think that that'd be a fun way to get new audience members, because they go, oh cool, this artist is going to be on, I like them. Or you get the artist to want to be on because they're going to be on a bigger stage. I think it's a cool idea. I like musical guests on SNL, so I think it'd be fun if they just did this every week.
You are just too far removed from the awkward time Ali J was on the show. And she stood in the ring and was like, what am I doing, guys? I'll make you fall in love. Bye. It was awkward as hell, Jack. I hated it. Maybe
real old. Well, I think there were some decisions that were that were made. I mean, you want artists like you had this week, right? That know how to perform, know how to be in that situation.
Well, we got a video package or a vignette, excuse me, from Joe Gacy, who's going through some things and he's wearing flannel. So a grunge phase. What do you make of that one, man?
Well, I think Joe Gacy was a very big man in this and he apologized for everything he's done. And I forgive him, Flobo. Do you?
Yes. Oopsie daisies. Love it. No. Yeah. You almost destruction he did over the course of his three personas here in NXT, and now he's saying he's a new version of him. Look, Joe, I love you. You're very talented in the ring. People know you're creepy, but you can make it happen. You can make it happen, but I am just sick of your world perspective. How about you win some championships?
How much more does he have to go through for you to finally just forgive this guy? He apologized, Flobo. I mean, what more could you ask for?
It wasn't even like on letterhead. It just went to a camera and was like, yeah, I did some stuff. That was it.
I mean, if social media's taught me anything, it's all you need to do is say sorry and everyone forgives you.
The Iron Survivor Challenge is back this year on NXT Deadline. I'll go first and say I was not overly impressed with the concept. I'm willing to give it a second chance. Where are you on the hype meter for this matchup at Deadline?
I'm always very interested when you've got multiple opponents and multiple things going on. I guess I like complicated matches because I love Heritage Cup matches. I love the Elimination Chamber.
King of the Mountain.
I love I guess I kind of like complicated match styles, but I think it's interesting. I agree when I look at some of the bigger shows like the Survivor Series matches or the War Games or whatever.
War Games.
I think I like the other ones more, but maybe that's just because they've been a part of my wrestling journey for so long, where this is only going to be the second one. I can't believe it's already been a year since the last one. That's what's crazy to me.
I remember Halloween Havoc 3 years ago on my couch. I was like, wait, that was like last week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, time's broken. Time's absolutely broken. This is kind of a small reference, but you see backstage that Boa walked over to Dante Chen in the background.
I did. Yeah,
Cha could be back, baby. I'm so hyped.
Let's go. Yeah. Has anyone seen Wendy Chu recently?
No, she's still sleeping. Maybe you might get that again. Maybe. I hope. Even though Dante Chen is technically from Singapore, I'm still on board if Tian Cha comes back.
Yeah. That group is so cool. I hope so.
We also saw a backstage interview with Lexus King, who really loves his Katie in a goblet. Okay, whatever. Didn't have a match this week, but he's asserting the dominance. And I'll be honest with you, Jack, I like the character of just him being so sure, you know, rock and roll guy in a world of bright colors and that hippity hop. He's not doing much, but he's already standing out.
Yeah, he's definitely the most important thing for someone when they're debuting in NXT, and he's still in that debut phase, that honeymoon phase, is you got to do something to stand out. And I know a lot of times people think, well, what about the headlocks? What about the topes? What about the moves? You need something to, so as a character, I know who you are, and I am definitely figuring out who Lexus King is. Used to pleasing people. That's great. I like being pleased. That's a good start already. Now, I think he has the confidence that you need to have. He has a confidence that you need to have to be successful. And sometimes you almost need to be naively confident. And I think that's where he's at. I think that he's going to be able to step in the ring with a Braun Breaker, a Von Wagner, a Baron Corbin, and not feel like he's not stacking up to that task. He's going to be able to live into that, step into that world and be okay and not feel like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Amanda Russ says, who doesn't like being pleased? Apparently Jack loves the stuff. There was someone on Twitter on X that said that, that King, not now, but when he gets more into the fold of things, should tag team or be the mouthpiece for Dijak, down or not?
Sure. I don't really see the connection though. Like,
I think they're the closest to being the rock and roll guys, I guess. I assume.
Is Dijak a rock and roll guy?
He's not a hip hop guy. I love the beat.
Yeah, he strikes me as like a German DJ, like
he's from Eurohouse.
Yeah.
I love this one, bro.
Right, yeah. Like I can see him in the club with his arms closed, with like all the lights flashing everywhere, but not moving at all. Like this DJ's rad.
Rad. I use that word because it's so cheesy. Got two more for you. We saw Out the Mud for someone I thought that went AWOL a couple weeks ago, and Scripps, the most soft-spoken gangster on the planet, is telling us we don't know his story and his boys. Out the Mud's doing good things, just not this week. Thoughts about them?
Yeah, he. I said this before about Out the Mud. Said this before about them. They have done a lot of talking. I need to see them get some wins. I need to see them get some dubs. I mean, they're playing dominoes. They're talking about how they used to play football. They're playing dice in the, they're rolling dice in the alley. They keep talking about how dangerous and great they are. I'm ready to see him get some wins. It's time to see him beat some people up. I mean, most of the people I know that, you know, I grew up in the mean streets of Tacoma. In Tacoma, we don't talk about running things.
Right.
You do it. You know, Al Capone wasn't sat there going like, man, once I'm done rolling dice, we're going to take over Chicago or New York or wherever Capone was from. But he's got to do it. Do it.
I bet it's like one mean street of Tacoma, and it's like one like stoplight is broken.
It's actually a really beautiful street. It's just called Mean Street.
I'm right there, y'all. I'm right there. Well, okay. So I'll be honest with you, because I'm honest with everybody. I try to be as objective as I can, let you basically kill yourself with your hot takes. But I don't get this at all. Lucian Price and Bronco Nima looks like the kind of guys that will beat up Scripps for money. But I get it. Sometimes you have friends that don't look alike, from a different city, brother from another mother, sister from another mister. But when I see Scripps, and there's many ways to be a hard butt, it's a family show, and express yourself, it feels like it's Scripps is reading the script on being a loud gangster 101. You could be soft-spoken and still have your own thing. You could be more calculating. You could be the wheel man. You could be somebody that like hypes with other boys. But you being like, yeah, I don't know me from where I'm from, to me, striking me as the weakest guy in the room. Because the weakest guy in the room is always like, I'm from Tacoma. It's tough there. I mean, no offense. I'm from Detroit. It's tough there. Scripps need to do something else. I know Neiman Price need to wrestle, but Scripps needs to do something else to make me believe what he's about.
I agree with what you're saying, because I think when you look at the groups like this, the small guy, the guy that looks like the least intimidating, has to do stuff every now and again that reminds everyone that's why they listen to that guy. I got to see why they listen to Scripps. Like, why are these guys doing what Scripps is telling them to do? Because otherwise, I don't know why when they do something, you know, like let's say they roll some dice and they win. I don't know why these two big guys aren't saying, hey, Scripps, give me your money.
Exactly.
Like, I want your cut too. Like, why are they listening to the guy? I'd like to know.
Sometimes that answer gets solved in wrestling. That's really bad. Like, we know why Great Khali listened to Jinder Mahal, which is a very deep cut. I get that. Mm-hmm. But like, the last thing I don't want to be is like, oh wait, are you a businessman like Bobby Lashley? Because he's doing one thing. Are you supposed to be a gangster? You don't really do that either. You called yourself Scripps. You were doing poetry in the sky, but then you said, oh, my friends who call me Scripps. And you're like, well, which one is it, man? Like, I fret. One more for you before we get out of here.
Yeah.
We got the package of all packages. Liar Valkyrie is now the new NXT Women's Champion. It looked like Ireland took a day off to celebrate this. I had no idea. Becky Lynch says she's a new champ. What does this mean for professional wrestling? It's being more of a global platform, having people from all over the world defending, representing their countries. It has a very UK feel, NXT UK feel. Just your thoughts about the package this week.
Yeah, I think this was... whenever someone who is a non-American wins a title like this, I think this is important to show their hometown. I think I go and think about like Kofi Kingston when he was champion and how important that was. I do think we're getting much closer to a global brand for WWE, a true global brand. Of course, it's hard to say that when, as you and I are fans of NXT UK and now that's gone, but you are starting to see more people like Io Shirai as a champion, like now Lyra Valkyria as a champion, and people who are from different parts of the world. And I would love to see WWE eventually become kind of like an Olympics, where everyone from their different countries, or a World Cup, I should say, where everyone sort of has the person that represents their country, their hometown, and kids don't just grow up wanting to be in WWE, but grow up wanting to represent their country in WWE.
That is very smart. And another thing about UK, NXT UK, which one, I hope NXT Europe is coming at all. Like, I know you're late, but just show up to the party, please. What I did like about that brand is that even though most of the talent were from the United Kingdom, obviously, they had the time to put the flags out of every person on the matchup screen. It was Wales, it was Scotland, it was England, it was Portugal, it was Spain. If you feel like you were watching this kind of Premier League, like soccer or football, where, yes, it was in the United Kingdom, but everyone participating was from all over the world. It's really nice.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And what was really cool about it, too, is they were representing their country, but they were so much more than just their country. You know, it wasn't just someone who walks to the ring to the national anthem of the country they're from, if that makes sense.
I always wonder that, like, when Americans wrestle in Japan, do we come out like, dun, 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 like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I'd basically, and I'd come out basically dressed like Cody Rhodes, I guess, just dressed like an American flag.
You know what? You're a bad guy, but I appreciate you bailing me out that joke. All right, now it's time for the MVP of NXT. Who's the guy for you? To me, it seems pretty obvious this week who really showed up and showed out, but for you, I'm curious.
Yeah, I have to give it to Trick Williams.
Really? Why so?
Because Trick Williams made his... He talked to John Cena a little bit ago. Talked about when it was his time. And I think what Trick Williams did is let the world know that now is his time and he's no longer going to be a sidekick.
Wow. I mean, I don't disagree, but I really thought far and away this was the Creed Brothers week. I mean, they were on Raw and they won. They were on NXT. They won in impressive fashion. That was my MVP of NXT this week, but Trick Williams is not a bad choice. I mean, it feels the Bloodline is the biggest storyline in wrestling, but I do think that the Carmelo Trick Saga is one of the better storylines, top tier happening in professional wrestling right now. So props to them for that one.
I agree. And if you said whose week was it, I may have said the Creed Brothers, but since I'm only thinking of NXT, so their win on Raw, though impressive, doesn't count.
I like how I'm like, hey, Jack, you know, I actually agree with you. Ah, well, you're wrong. What the hell, man? I can't. Anyway, if someone somehow still wants to contact you after the show, go about doing that.
You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. That's where all the stuff I'm working on is at.
Well, Draped in Gold, drapedingold.com. New episodes every Wednesday afternoon on the East Coast, Wednesday morning on the West Coast. And please support the show by giving us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Doesn't matter if you're not on either one of the platform, write it both. Make sure we get that higher visibility because we really want to show the love we have for NXT. We'll be back next week where we'll be having episode 125. Can't believe it. There's 125 times. This is crazy. I'll be there. Jack will be there. Hopefully you are there too. But until that time, Jack Sparrow, please hit the words.
Do your best and be yourself.